What's up, everyone? This is episode 267 of the Wax Museum Podcast, where I talk about all things basketball cards from past to present to future. This is your host, Kyle, and as always, you guys can find me throughout the week on social media. My Instagram is at Wax Museum Podcast. My X account is at Wax Museum PC. And let's cut right to the chase here. Joining me today is the official Northeast correspondent of the Wax Museum Podcast. You can call him Boston Steve. You can call him S. Halley, which for years I read as Sholey, and I can't undo that in my brain. Steve, it is one of my favorite times of the year. We've got to talk playoffs for at least a few minutes here. And playoff content is obviously tricky because it becomes dated immediately after it happens. So just for reference, we're recording this on Monday evening. I can at least start by saying congratulations to you and your Celtics on winning game one on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a tough loss for you Pacers last night, but I just want to say, Kyle, you just said number 267. Congrats to you, buddy. That's no joke. 267 is impressive for episodes, and I apologize for any background noise that you might hear, because as a Florida man, I know you don't know, but the NHL playoffs are also going on, so I might have the Bruins streaming in the background right now. So we've got dueling Boston playoffs going on. It's a very exciting time to be a fan, for sure.
Well, and you know what? You are right. I completely just disregarded that. And I actually looked at the schedule when I said, all right, the Celtics are not playing tonight. The Pacers are not playing tonight. We do have to give up a Sixers-Knicks game, which I think is going to be a great series.
That's a good series, yeah.
But apologies, I will check the Bruins schedule. Or I don't know, the next time we record, are they still going to be in it? Or
probably not. They're a lower tier right now. They are, I'm hoping, going to oust the Toronto Maple Leafs. So sorry, small town cards, but I'm hoping they beat Toronto and get through. But the Bruins are not a favorite this year. So next time will be good.
Now, let's get back to your Celtics for a little bit here. I know back in November, I was hyping this team up in your inbox to the point where you said it made you uncomfortable. And, you know, I was just really impressed. I was trying to be objective. I was really impressed by Tatum's progression, Porzingis' fit, and then Derek White has been fantastic as well. I could go on and on, which, by the way, doesn't mean I'm rooting for them. I know you're going to be cautious here. You don't want to have to eat crow or anything like that. But be honest with me, have you bought into this team? And if not, what on earth is holding you back?
I have bought into this team. I'm cautious. I'm 42 years old. I grew up expecting Boston teams to fail, right? Like through the 90s and early 2000s, like that was my heyday, and they always just underachieved. What got me into the Celtics and really buying in this year was the stat of how they've done throughout the season. They have been the most consistent team in the NBA. So they were 32-9 over the first 41 games of the season. They were 32-9 over the second half of the season. So their consistency, they went the entire season without losing three games in a row. And what really hyped me about some of your messages was, yes, Tatum has stepped up. He's matured. Like, he really is becoming a leader in the league, but it's guys like Derek White that have, even Peyton Pritchard, that have just stepped up and really found their role. I don't want to say they're the Red Sox or the Patriots of the 2010s, but they really, as a team, have sort of found their groove as far as how they all play together. So there's a, you know, as anybody that's a fan of a playoff bound team, there's a lot of luck that goes into this stuff, so I'm going to be cautious, and I'm, as a Boston fan, expecting to be heartbroken, but this team is as good of a chance of anybody to win a championship this year, and they really have figured out how to play together despite Joe Mazzulla, who I don't like, but
still not on board with Joe.
Not on board, Joe.
And I heard somebody, I it might have even been on Simmons' podcast, where they gave him, I think Russillo gave him coach of the year considerations, not the top vote, but just because they had won so many games. I mean, they were just coasting at the end of the regular season. Really impressive. Now, before we move on from this year's Boston squad, I've got a listener question for you from Al, aka New York City Hoops Collector. He wants to know, who do you think has had the greater impact on the Celtics this season, Kristaps Porzingis or Drew Holiday?
So it's an interesting question, only because I think the last time I was on with you, Kyle, and I forget if we've recorded all during the season, but I feel like my last sign off was when the Celtics get beat by the Heat, as long as Marcus Smart is no longer on this team, I'll take that as a consolation prize. So they got rid of Marcus, and Drew is his replacement. Thank you, Bucks. But It's Porzingis because one of the Achilles heels of the Celtics last 2 years has been the zone, and Kristaps Porzingis, when he's healthy, is a zone buster. He's a cheat code. He is upright, left down, whatever that Mike Tyson cheat code is to get through, because you can't do a zone against him because he's got such a quick shot from the three. Or I didn't realize how good his footwork was. Like when he's got his stuff set in the post, you can't do anything but double team him, which then breaks up a zone. So, as much as I like Drew and he is a true leader, it's Porzingis. He's the X factor for the team this year for sure.
Yeah, I think when he went to Dallas and they just kind of relegated him to the corner, we kind of forgot what exactly he could do. And I know he showcased it in Washington, but let's be honest, who was watching those games? So it is interesting seeing the fit there. He has stayed healthy. We're not going to try and jinx that or anything, but yeah, you guys are scary, and he adds definitely another dimension to that.
I'm going to interrupt for a second. I also think it's interesting to think about how NBA players have to mature over time, right? Like he was in New York, he wasn't this player. And I think people expect guys to come in 2 and 3 years in the league, all of a sudden be superstars. And Porzingis has done some pretty impressive interviews over the course of his time in Boston, where he's talked about how he's had to mature and be humbled and learn from his mistakes. And I think we forget that guys need to develop as people and as players. And I don't think without his time in Dallas, as dysfunctional as that was, I don't think we'd get the Kristaps that we do here in Boston. So I just want to give a little shout out to NBA players that find their way in the league, through adversity. And I think he really has done that. So it's been fun to watch that part of it too.
Well, as much as I wanted to avoid Boston in the playoffs this year, I know I talked about I didn't want to be in the play-in just primarily because of that. I do hope our two teams end up facing off because that just means Indiana has won a couple of rounds. Until that happens, the closest thing you and I can have to a playoff matchup is if the Pacers play off against your PC player, Jay Crowder. And that's exactly what's happening in this first round. So last night, which for us is Sunday night, the Bucks took game one, and that's kind of an understatement. It was the most miserable I've been watching a basketball game in a while. I know I came on this show and said, oh, I don't want to guarantee a victory, but I feel pretty good about it. I still feel okay. It's just it a three seed won a home game in the first round. I'm okay with that. But the Pacers definitely had that deer in the headlights look, no pun intended, except for Pascal Siakam. Now, Jay got some good minutes in that game. And he's got quite a bit of playoff experience now. And I vaguely remember you talking about rooting for Jay in the finals. I know we've talked about it different times before. I think when he was on the Suns, I guess when he was on the Heat as well. I'm assuming you're rooting for him now, but how do you approach the playoffs in your PC player when he's not on your favorite team?
It's interesting in the past for sure, like when he was in the bubble and he was in the finals, and the following year he was with the Sun in the finals. I was all in on the Suns team. I wanted them to beat the Bucks. I'm not a huge fan of that Bucks squad. I used to like Giannis. Giannis has deteriorated my fandom for sure. But
He's kind of had a heel turn.
yeah, for sure, for sure. But I was all in on that Suns team. I all of a sudden for a year or two liked Chris Paul, which goes against 2 decades of what I've enjoyed. This year, I am out on the Bucks. I don't enjoy watching them. I made a post on Instagram. I'm out on teams trading for guards, like 30-year-old guards. Like after watching the Celtics go through Kyrie and then Kemba, like as much as I liked Kemba, I'm out on those teams that are just chasing those guards. I just don't think it's smart basketball. I would love to see Jay end his career positively. Doc does not seem to like Jay ever since Doc came on board. Jay's minutes have gone down. He went from a starter to a bench player playing 15 minutes. So it's not even like I can tune in knowing I'm going to see good Crowder minutes. So I know this is going to be a thorn in your side because you don't like the hype, but I'm all in on the Pacers. I really enjoy watching them this year. I like Smith. I like Halliburton. I think Halliburton's a little too cocky. I think he needs to be chopped down, which will be good for next year, to be honest with you. I think he needs to be, humbled a little bit. But I'm out of the Bucks this year. I don't want to see them progress. I don't enjoy watching them, and I enjoy watching the Pacers. So from an entertainment perspective, go Pacers.
Yeah, I know you know, they brought up the Dame Time celebration that he did in the play-in tournament, which I was ready. I had my money,
you
my credit
it.
Card out. I was going to buy the Panini Instant Card, and of course they didn't make it. I would love to see it again. I would love to see them play the next round. I want to see him do a choke sign at MSG. But he's got to take more than seven shots if that's going to happen. So hopefully by the time people are listening to this, game two has happened, Halliburton drops like 35 points and all is well. But I'm not going to make any more of those happy statements here. Now, before we wrap up our playoff talk, we have another listener question, a great one here, from Josh Mitten State Collector, who asked, which team should Pistons fans cheer for in the playoffs? What do you think, Steve?
So I know the G League playoffs ended already, but I'm going Motor City Crews because the only chance the Pistons have of becoming relevant anytime soon is that they have a couple of G League players that can step up on cheap two-way contracts and help that team out. So go Motor City Crews.
You know, I got a lot of enjoyment out of the Pacers were actually releasing undersized guards, and they were all going to Motor City at some point. I think Cassius Stanley went there. I think Keeper Sykes went there. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. Now, Josh, first off, I have to say, I love the question, and even more so, I love the situation the Pistons are in right now. This is not an easy question to answer, though, and I know you can only watch the 04 ring ceremony and the Bad Boys documentary so many times. So you might want to focus, if not Motor City, you might want to focus on the upcoming draft lottery instead, which is on May 12th. So that's coming up here. And maybe that 28 game losing streak will finally pay off and you can get you a good pick in what some executives are calling the worst draft they've ever seen. Sorry, Josh, you know, I got to mess with you there. And I know they're going to rub rings into my face and Tayshaun's block. I'm going to get messages with that this week. So I'm just going to get this all out now.
But maybe Josh should really just watch the Detroit Lions because they won as many games in their 17-game schedule plus the playoffs as the Pistons did in over 82 games. So maybe we just go to football, Josh.
Yeah, that's not bad. Monty Williams, coach of the year. Okay, before we move into the mail segment, which is going to have a lot of twists and turns and it might even go down a dark path, I want to take a moment to remind you that this show is brought to you in part by the good people over at ComC.com, your home for buying, selling, flipping, and grading. Their consignment marketplace is home to over 33 million cards, from basketball's biggest stars like LeBron James and Kevin Durant to Marvel favorites like Spider-Man and Captain America. ComC has something for every type of collector. Visit ComC.com today to build your collection with your favorite cards. So, Steve, it's only right that we start with your mail, seeing as you got a ComC shipment this week that you described to me as a potpourri of sports and non-sports stuff. So I mentioned Marvel favorites there a few moments ago. I'm guessing there were some of those in there as well, correct?
There were. So it's interesting. When you asked me about my mail day, Kyle, I had gotten that ComC mail day the same day you texted me. And I was thinking about how when I first came on with you, I was a basketball-only collector. And that ComC mail day had MLB, NHL, NFL, NBA, WNBA, Marvel, snowboarding. It had a little bit of everything. And it really sort of reflected how I've changed my collecting over time. So it had Red Sox relics. It had Chloe Kim was a USA snowboarder in it. It had some 90s Marvel cards. It really had a little bit of everything in it. So I'm not going to go through it all. Eventually, it'll be on my Instagram, which you guys all know by now. But it was really interesting to get the package and the text message within a few hours of each other to kind of reflect on. So that's my first mail day call out for this episode.
So now you mentioned you've kind of shifted and you're collecting a lot of different things. And I'm assuming that kind of comes at the expense of something else. So you've been a big basketball guy for so long now. Is it your basketball has become more selective? Are you buying less basketball or what is changing that's allowing you to buy that other stuff?
Yeah. So when I first started collecting, I was collecting like the history of the Celtics, right? So I still have them. My binder is full of base cards and parallels and, you know, jersey relics of everybody from the Celtics history. And over time, as I've gotten, you know, sort of disenfranchised with how many releases there are, or just the, you know, with the two-way contracts and everything, the number of rookies we have and how large the checklists are, I've gotten away and gone from really just collecting memories. So I've, instead of collecting Jordan Walsh or Peyton Pritchard or Grant Williams, I'm now focusing on collecting, players from the 2004 Red Sox, which is the first World Series championship since, 1918, or the 2011 Bruins, or Tom Brady's Patriots run. So I'm really getting more into memories as opposed to sort of narrating the history of sort of my fandom. Well, I guess still, narrating the history of my fandom, but through key memories as opposed to like one specific focus, like the Celtics, if that makes
Right.
sense.
You've already got a lot of that stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jordan Walsh. Is he a Topps athlete or a Panini athlete?
I have no, I mean,
Or
he's, I get,
neither, maybe.
I don't think he's got an exclusive with either. I mean, he's a second
Okay.
round pick, 19-year-old kid, but he's got sticker autos and elites. So I guess he's
Okay. So he's not,
Panini.
yeah, he's not, at
He's
least
not
he's not an
exclusive.
exclusive then. Yeah, that's
No.
something I'm running into with Jairus Walker, is that he's a Topps guy. So if I want the autographs, it's going to be on a, Houston card, or I don't know
Yeah.
if Leafs, hopefully Leaf does something later this year like they did with Trinity last year. I actually really enjoyed those budget RPAs, is what I'll call them. But at least they're player worn. They gave us that
For
before
sure.
Panini did. Okay, let's just run through the rest of your mail here, because mine, like I said, is going to take us to a dark place. Last week, I had a segment where I talked about buying pieces of WNBA jerseys, and I've already shared your quote about me only wanting to collect jerseys if they're shredded. Yes, as goofy as that sounds, you're not wrong. But after all of that, there's a slight chance that that segment might have influenced one of your card purchases this week. You called me an influencer in our chats. I believe you showed me that this also showed up in a trash bag. So we're going to need some more info here to tie all of that together to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so Nikisha Sales was a WNBA All-Star in the early 2000s. You picked up part or shredded aspects of her Orlando jersey. And I just have to say, to clarify for your listeners, I was all in on understanding why you picked up those relics. I really did. But watching the YouTube videos of you holding up shredded pieces of like shoulder, it was the shoulder pieces, Kyle, like the necks, and there's like strands hanging from them. All I could think of was like your poor wife is just gonna have to deal with you putting those in bags in the corner of some part of your house at some point.
So she
So.
might have come in at one point and we were arguing, not arguing, but we were disagreeing over what was an armhole and what was a neck hole. And eventually, I think we got it figured out.
She's very supportive. So anyway, so Sales was on the Orlando Miracle at the same time that that team was sold to the Connecticut Sun. So for I don't even know when I picked up Elisa Leslie from this set, but there's a 2003 Flair Alter All-Star set that has jerseys and patch pieces in it. And I've had a Sales patch on my watch list for at least a year, if not longer. And within 48 hours of you releasing that video, I got a very, very fair offer from a seller of one of the copies I was watching. So I picked it up. It's a Connecticut Suns card with a Orlando jersey, and it's a quick history. When the NBA in their 50th anniversary season decided to support the WNBA, it was the first ever professional females league supported by the NBA. So there's been many, many professional women's leagues supported, but not by the NBA. So that's why the logo man looks similar to the quote unquote Jerry West logo man. And in 2002, the NBA claiming, crying poor, decided to sell off all the teams to the owners, and some of the owners didn't want to buy the team. So the Connecticut Sun became the first ever third party team owned by someone not NBA related, and some of the other teams folded. So Sales moved her way up to Connecticut, and Flair Alter made this card that has a piece of the Orlando jersey in it. So I think it's a really cool piece to reflect that part of NBA and WNBA history, where the league really transitioned into their own league. There's still some sister teams, but they're independently owned by the owners of NBA teams. They're no longer directly affiliated with the NBA, so they're their own league now. And so my piece of a Sales jersey is unfortunately stuck into a piece of cardboard and not a Ziploc bag, but I did get one in the mail this week. Yes.
Well, that's the easier way to do cards, is just buy them when they're already made. Now, normally I would call a card like that, I guess I would dismiss a card like that as a Frankenstein
Is,
patch.
yeah. Same franchise though, right? And that's interesting. Think of
Yes.
had the Pacers had moved from Indiana to say, Detroit or whatever, just to make a sore reference. It reflects a part of the team's history for sure.
Yeah, so it actually does make some sense there, and I was happy to see you grab that, and obviously got a kick out of it as well. But you got to tell us how it showed up. You can't leave that part out.
So I texted Kyle a picture of file folders. So think of a modern laptop. Those file folders, those manila file folders. The envelope was a bubble envelope, the same size as your modern file folder. When I opened it up, I was opening up, ironically, we talked about wives, next to my wife who was working from home today. And I said gross because as I cut into it, there was this dirty gray foam that looked like the padding that would be underneath like carpet in an old basement, like that textured gray foam, but it was about an inch thick, and I had to unfold it, and within that was a trash bag, kitchen like a kitchen Rubbermaid trash bag with the red ties and everything, which I then had to tear into, which then revealed like another bag, like a supermarket type bag. And within that was the top loader, and within that was the card without a penny sleeve. So this person must have paid at least $10 to send an oversized shipment that had 18 layers of gross, dirty protection, but they could not put a penny sleeve on the card when they put it into the top load. It was one of the more interesting mail days I've had in a while.
Meanwhile, I've got people sending me $50 optic golds in CD jewel cases. So you never know what you're going to open up
You don't
here.
know what you're gonna get.
Yeah. So I'm interested to follow that project as it progresses. Are you actually doing the full set or just picking up certain
I
ones?
thought about it. I looked at the checklist today. It's 20 cards, Sue Bird's in it, and a few other Hall of Famers. So the prices get a little high, but it's one of those things I'll definitely look for over time. I might put it together.
Okay, I think you should, and I'm looking forward to following that project. In the meantime, though, you had another piece of mail that finished off a project for you that I'm going to assume was several years in the making. If not, you got a really late start on it. So, what can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, so this was a Leon Poe, so 2008 Leon Poe autograph from Fun Guy Cards on Instagram, and it completes the entire 2008 Celtics championship team autograph set, going from GM Danny Ainge to coach Doc Rivers, and then every single player that was on the active roster that year. So guys like Paul Pierce all the way down to Scott Pollard. So that it's been several years in the making. Part of it is just not wanting to pay for autos of guys like Eddie House, like waiting for the right one to show up, but also trying to get on-card autos of oddball guys like Sam Cassell that was a Celtic but never had a Celtics auto, right? So like what autograph do I want to get of him? And then for some of them, finding sticker autos. So I have a really nice Ray Allen auto, but it doesn't fit in a binder, and this is a binder project. So then figuring out what sticker auto I'd want to get for cheap in order to use as like a placeholder. I'm not gonna scan a card and put it in the binder. I'm gonna actually
Right.
get the card, get like a supplemental card. But yeah, that was for the Leon Poe is the toughest one to get because he's got very, very, very few autos, but he had on card Celtics autos, so finding the right one that fit that project. Whereas guys like Scott Pollard or James Posey, they never had, even PJ Brown obviously never had Celtics autos, so then finding other autos that fit that. But that was I think I got the Leon Poe in like a day or two before the playoffs started. So I'm hoping there's a little calmer there as far as finishing that project and hopefully being able to, start a 2024 project soon.
You mentioned Scott Pollard not having Celtics autos. Did he even get any Celtics cards?
Good question. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I honestly don't know. Probably not, because that was during that weird time when, Topps and Upper Deck knew they were losing their license and print runs got really weird. So I bet
Yeah.
he didn't, because even, I mean, obviously PJ Brown didn't. I don't even know. I don't think there's even base cards for like Posey and House. So Pollard probably not. Sam Cassell definitely not. So I bet there's very few like even cards of players from that period.
Yeah, weird time frame. I think Panini's first set actually had a Stephon Marbury Celtics card of all things. So it was
Starberry.
kind of weird. So, I love a good binder project, and I was happy to see you finish that one out. The timing of it was kind of funny though. As you know, I've had a lot of Celtics collectors on the show, and I don't know if it was public or private, but at some point I mentioned to Chris Publius 13, I feel like I hear about this 2008 team just nonstop. So about once a week or so, he sends me usually a Paul Pierce clip, sometimes a Kevin Garnett clip. If I'm fortunate enough, it's got both of them in it, and or some sort of 08 content of some sort. And he had just sent me one right before I saw your project, and I just can't escape it. And you mentioned Scott Pollard, so I go on his profile. He just had a heart transplant to see the update. Well, he's wearing his 08 Celtics stuff. It's just like I can't get away from it. So I know you probably follow a lot of Boston accounts, so it might not have even crossed your mind, but do you feel like you're somewhat aware of how much this 08 team still gets talked about in just in basketball circles in general?
It's funny you brought that up, and I don't follow a ton of Boston's, like I don't follow Bill Simmons or like a lot of like the national Boston guys. I do, when we were talking before we started recording, I can picture we're in a time frame where the ex athletes from the 2000s are starting to do like podcasts up the wazoo. Like I'm sick and tired of hearing about
Too
John
much.
Wall's podcast, but the 08 Celtics definitely kicked off what led into the like the Heatles and all that stuff. So I'm sure there's a lot of like pump and hype media stuff around that, but I am not aware of. But you also have every Celtics collector on your podcast, so the algorithms are probably pushing the Celtics towards you. So
That's
you
true.
probably caught Comrade has probably caught up to you at this point, Kyle.
I followed a couple cat accounts this week as well. So I'm seeing kitty litter and 08 Celtics autos just nonstop. So it got me thinking, though, this week, what would have to happen for me to block all that out? Well, apparently I need to delete my cookies, but I came up with a short list of what might have to happen. It's not necessarily things that I want to happen. I should clarify that. But you mentioned Bill Simmons. I would have to stop listening to him, which that's not going to happen. I know he's not for everyone. I've listened to Simmons for, I don't know, probably at least a dozen years, if not more. I read his columns before that. I'd have to disassociate myself from all my Boston friends. That would be, sorry, Steve, that would be the end of us.
I'm out.
Some other people as well. A lot of people that I chat with. I would have to mute certain phrases on social media, which might block out other stuff. But that's a risk that I, might have to take. Or I'm thinking maybe it's just all of this is just because you guys are in such a drought, at least for Celtic standards, mind you. I know my team hasn't won in a very long time. I don't even know how many decades it's been. It's more than 50 years. Would a 2024 title solve all of that? Like after Pierce, I know Pierce would join in on all the celebrations, but would a 2024 title just kind of flush out some of that OA stuff?
No, it would increase it. So Pierce did an amazing troll job where he, unbeknownst to Celtics ownership, snuck into the background of the team photo this year. I don't know if that's come across your feed yet. So
I have seen that.
Pierce has learned social media after his infamous rocket emoji, which if you're not familiar with, I'll talk to you offline. He's learned social media very well. But also, and I'm not trying to sound like the tool bag that I'm going to come off as, but most people are not on board the Celtics winning. Like they want the Lucas or the Paul Georges of the world to win. So if the Celtics and specifically Jason Tatum were to win one in a team fashion, there would be a lot of social media content about the fact that Tatum, a non-MVP, led his team to a championship. It would just increase the exposure. I mean, you think you're tired of watching Giannis right now? Just get ready for if Tatum leads his team to a championship, it's going to be a lot of love and hate content, which is going to really just double down the amount of algorithms that get pushed out there. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
those two guys, and I'm tired of seeing Jimmy Butler every commercial break on some other commercial. I don't know what's going on. I don't know when we decided that Jimmy Butler was just going to become a shill for everything, but it is what it is. And I know I'm going to get heat messages now too. Now, I mentioned a little bit ago talking about my mail might take me to a dark place. Well, the short version is I received a Celtics card that I shouldn't have this week, since we're talking about Celtics. But Steve, as you know, you've gotten a lot of messages about this card this week. There's a lot to say here. So as I go into my mail, I'm going to start running through things. Just cut in whenever you see fit. I really don't know if I have stopping points here, but just cut in. Okay. So, Connell Collection, Alex, right? We were talking about the Flawless Checklist on an episode, and we talked about these Bill Russell tribute patches. And I am just fascinated with those. I know they're not for everyone. I know some people think the design's kind of lazy. I can see that. I get it. But I'm fascinated by them. Alex was too. So I mentioned to Alex that I wanted to get one of the cheaper Pacers. And I didn't say which people those necessarily would be, but it would be either Buddy Hield or Miles Turner. So eventually, both of those cards show up at the same time. So you have Miles Turner on Card Hobby, which that's a whole different world there. I mean, yeah, as far as shilling and everything right now. And Buddy Hield shows up as a Probstein listing on eBay. So it's just like, all right, pick
Two
your
negatives
poison
right
here.
there.
Yeah. So, and I even sent you a screenshot after I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for Buddy Hield because I've got a lot of nice Miles Turner stuff and the Buddy Hield's on eBay. It's just easier for me to navigate. I sent you a screenshot in the final day. Hey, Steve, I think this is blatantly being shilled. And you're like, yeah, sorry, bud.
It 100% was 100%. Yep.
So apparently, though, they only shilled it to the certain amount that they like their reserve. I guess it was their way of doing a reserve, which the cards were selling for more than that anyway. So I thought, all right, I'm back in the game here. And I committed to this. All right, I'll set aside these cards or these funds, and I'm going to go for this because I really want one of these Russell tribute patches. And I won the card despite all the shilling, despite all the shenanigans. I won the card
And for a fair price, right?
for
Like,
a fair,
yes, it
for a
was
great
shield, but it was a
price.
very,
Yeah.
for what that set is selling for, a very fair price for
Yes,
the, you know.
the Jordan at the time that I recorded before that, I had mentioned a Jordan Poole that was the lowest sale. This was like maybe two-thirds of that price. So I was
Yeah.
very happy with what it ended for. So you know how it is. You get a card that a big card you purchase, you start looking at the tracking multiple times a day. Where's it at? Where's it going? This one was going to the authentication center, which I've had stuff go there before. And
So the cutting, Kyle, just so everyone knows, it's a flawless sealed card, right? So there's very
Correct.
little
Correct.
authentication that needs to happen, right? They need to make sure the seal hasn't been cut and then package it back up and send it out to the buyer. Like, it's a very straight process. It's
Very
a
easy job,
yep.
right? Very easy job. So the only thing that was going to be difficult for me is we had to have somebody home to sign for the package. So I know Mrs. Wax Museum was tired of me saying like, hey, can you, because she works nights, hey, can you wake up and this day at this time, I think I'm going to get a package. Well, everything, she wasn't able to be there, but it actually, the mail came late that day and I got home from work. So I'm like, oh man, this is great. I open the card up and it is a Malcolm Brogdon, Bill Russell tribute patch. And I just, well, the YouTube video will be out by then. I'm not a screamer. I'm not a, puncher or anything like that. I was so stunned. It's like, I still don't even know what to say. It's just like, how does this happen, right? You had one job to authenticate the card that I didn't ask for you to authenticate. And that's what happened. So, Steve, I don't know if you remember when I first sent you that picture. I know there was a part of you that kind of relished the fact that I ended up with a Celtic that I didn't buy, but what all was going through your mind?
I honestly, I at first I was like, I mean, I swore, so like I swear a lot, so I won't do that. I won't keep bleeping anything out, but I just can't fathom. Okay, so I should back up. First, I blame Probstein, right? Because I just assumed they screwed it
Well,
up.
yeah, actually, so I should cut in here real quick. I need to read the message that I sent to Probstein here. Let me pull this up real quick. Sorry, I should have had this ready. All right. So, message number one to Probstein said, I had to wait around to sign for this package, and it's not even the right card. And that was the only thing I messaged him. And I sent a picture of it as well. So, yes, I, like you, assumed that it was Probstein. So, you can go. I'm sorry, I cut you off
Right,
there.
no, because historically their packaging has been the downfall of their company, right? Like, yes, they allow shill bidding. Yes, they don't respond to messages. They won't answer questions. Their return policy is very black or white. I kind of respect it, actually. But shipping has been atrocious with them. So assuming they sent the wrong card, instantly assumed, okay, cool. Yep, that's Probstein's issue. Nope. It was eBay authentication's issue, as you let everyone know on social media already, which again, it was a flawless encased card. So there was no confirming that the card was authentic. It was like, okay, yep, Probstein sent us the right card. Let's forward it on and we get our cut of the sale. Except somehow they mismanaged that. And in my, and I'll let you get into this, the thing I can't get over as after I said a few, curse words was, this should be an easy fix. It has not been an easy fix. eBay is not willing to say, send the card back to our authentication. We're getting the other buyer who also, by the way, now owns a card that is 50% of the value of the card they paid for, sent back to us, and they're not willing to fix it. So I get that eBay authentication doesn't have all the contact info. They shouldn't. There's entire, reasons why they should not know who bought what card and what they're authenticating, right? But they eBay as a whole company should be able to, within an hour, have fixed this situation. And you should be sending back the card that you don't want that's worth two times what the card that you purchased is worth and getting the card that you want back. But nobody can confirm that that's what's going to happen. And I won't talk about what some of the resolutions are because we probably shouldn't talk about that publicly if you don't want to. But I'm just flabbergasted at the lack of customer service that you're getting from eBay on this one. That's my honest thoughts on it. Like, I get that mistakes happen, but systems are in place to allow mistakes to be fixed. And this authentication process that screwed this up, because ironically, Probstein would have sent you the right card, cannot fix the unauthentic card purchase that was sent to you.
And their rules are now preventing them from fixing it. So someone suggested to me that I should scan the QR code on the back of the card, which I didn't even think about because I was just so frustrated at that point. So I scanned it. And when you scan the back of the Brogdon card, it comes up with a picture of the healed card, but the description is Malcolm Brogdon. So it's just like, I'm, even if this card gets back to them, I don't think they can comprehend that. So, but then that was when I realized it wasn't Probstein's error. So here's message number two to Probstein, because I never got a response to the first one.
Because they don't respond,
Because they don't respond. And I actually, it's message three because I also sent him a message earlier that said, hey, this card is being shilled. So it said, forgive my haste with the previous message. This is the authentication center's fault. You can see how that would be frustrating. Do you know how to go about getting this resolved? Maybe you have the buyer of the Brogdon and they got mine. Crickets, right? Still have not heard from Ricky P.
So
So
Ricky's
for
not helping the situation here.
no.
So, no kudos to them at all.
So for everyone that's wondering, well, how does this even happen? How did they get two of these cards on their desk at authentication at the same time? Well, Probstein sold the Brogdon and the Healed on the same night, and they ended at the same time, and they both had to go to authentication. So I called eBay, that, hey, Kyle, thanks for being with us 21 years. Well, hey, thank you. I explained the situation. I showed them both listings because otherwise they were going to have no clue how this could have even happened. So they said, oh, wow, thank you. That makes it a lot easier for us. I said, hey, no problem. And then they needed pictures and they said, okay, we're going to need you to return this card. I said, no, I'm not going to return this card until I know that this process has been started with the other person. And they said, well, we really just need you to return this card. I said, but I don't want the money. I want the card. This is, and you're talking to non-card people, right? This is a very hard card to find. There's only one copy. I want the card. I don't want the money.
Can I just
Oh.
jump in though? You say you're talking to non-card people. They either work for CGC or PSA though. Like they are theoretically card people, right? Like eBay has outsourced these services. So let's put a little pressure on them as well.
So anyway, they said, well, send us the pictures and then we're going to send you a label. So that concluded call number one, which was about 30 minutes. And eventually I got my label and it's saying, the first half of the email with the label says, we understand you want to swap the card out and we're going to make efforts to do that. The second half of the email is the copy and paste. You'll get your refund within 7 days. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can't trust this email. So I called them up again. And we ran through many options. At one point, I guess I'll say it here. I think the rep even hinted that I could keep the card I received which, as you mentioned, was worth almost two times the value. I said, no, sir, that would be unethical. And he said, well, yes, you're right. which just floored me. I'm like, okay, apparently that's still a solution though, which, but everyone that's listening, I'm not going to hold this other card hostage. I am waiting a little bit so I can try to find the other buyer, but no, I'm not going to hold someone else's card hostage. I'm a collector. I don't think that's right. So anyway, they refused to give me the info of the other person, and they would just simply, they just kept repeating, well, sir, we can assume that they're going to want the card swapped out as well, and that they're also going through this process. I said, well, first off, I also assumed that the authentication center could authenticate cards. So we have to stop operating on assumptions at this point. And also, we don't have to assume, because they would be contacting you. So, or you would be contacting them. Either way, you know whether this has happened or not. Sir, we can't, for security purposes, let you know. And of course, we went back and forth, and I knew I was getting nowhere, but I was just blowing off steam at this point. I was on the phone with them another 30 minutes. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going to find the owner of this card myself, because I feel like the social media network and everything can make that happen. Well, that card on Twitter has got like 33,000 views because a lot of people retweeted it. So thank you to everyone that's trying to help me. Same thing on Instagram. That buyer has not emerged, the buyer of the other card. So Steve, I think I will be sending this card in soon and just accepting my fate, whatever that is.
I'm going to say it. I'll take the heat. I think you hold on to it.
I am going to hold on to it a little bit. There probably will be another call to eBay, but I do want to clarify to everyone, I will not hold this card hostage long term. That is not not something that I'm looking to do. But man, I can't tell you how difficult or how frustrating this whole thing has been. But you know what? Last week with the Bill Bradley, I said, oh, all the difficulty makes this card just so much more special to me. Well, this Buddy Hield is going to be so damn special if it ever comes through, because this has been so troubling to try and get it.
Eventually you'll get it for $100 and then it'll all be worth it.
Right. Not only that, I mentioned this to Steve off air, because this has reached so many people now, I have had to explain so many times why Buddy Hield is on a card with Bill Russell. And I'm just, look, people, if you don't understand the set, if you don't know about it, just, that's fine. Move on. Yeah, I know it's goofy that Buddy Hield is on a card with Bill Russell. It looks like they're playing one-on-one. Let's move past that. All right, Steve, any other words about Buddy Hield before we move on?
I got nothing on Buddy Hield.
I don't even know what to say. It even hurts to watch him in the playoff series now. I just think of that card. All right, now, that whole fiasco makes me want to say I had a horrible mail week. I know I said it, this segment was going to take me to a dark place. I hope I didn't ramble too much. There's just so much going through my mind though, but that was just one card. So if I step back and look at things, I actually have a couple other pieces of mail to be very thankful for. The first one, and I don't know how much he wants disclosed, but a listener named Gary, he reached out to me. I'll keep it brief. He said, hey, I pulled this Bruce Brown Pacers autograph out of Prism. I know you mentioned you didn't have a Bruce Brown Pacers card and that he wouldn't sign for you at the game. So he actually sent that my way. So Gary, thank you so much. Very happy to get that. And it might end up in a binder. I haven't done autos in binders yet, but I'm getting to that point. I'm seeing you do that, Steve. Have you always been an autos in binders kind of guy?
Yeah, for several years. I mean, yeah, probably actually back to when I started, even the low end. Like my Doc Rivers auto when I first got it back in 2013 went into a binder. So yeah, it saves space, and if they fit in there in a penny sleeve, autos and binders for sure.
I think I might as well. I mean, you guys heckled me. I have Topps Total cards in a top loader binder. So, you know, at this point, every up is down, black is white, left is right. I might as well put those in there. Now, the second piece of mail comes from Instagram user Frugal Cards. He, and I won't go into all the story about this either, but he sent me a really nice 2022-23 Panini 1-in-1 purple. I want to make sure I'm getting the name of this right. I think it's just called Purple Parallel of Benedict Mathurin, numbered 6 of 25. And I already posted this on social media, so I don't have to say, oh, hopefully I get this up at some point. It's out there already. This is just a great looking card. It's not something that I've never bought one of these before. I haven't bought a lot of one-in-one stuff. And I just have to say, it is stunning. It's purple. You put it under the light, it's got this rainbow kind of finish to it. Very impressed by that. Have you seen these in hand before, Steve?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I've had the base ones. I've had a few of the light blues, whatever. They look really good, especially some of those more pastel colors like the blues and the purples. They're clean. They're different from Panini, and they do, like you said, they have, instead of like a prism feel to them, it's more of a rainbow feel. They're nice looking cards for sure.
So with the addition of that, and I just need, I'm still trying to get a flawless patch of Mathurin, but that will kind of wrap up my Mathurin rookie chase. And I know I did an episode I don't know, maybe even a year and a half ago, probably right after he was drafted, about here's what I'm going to pursue for Benedict Mathurin. I've been able to get a lot of the stuff, obviously not Prism Gold. I did not anticipate where that would end up taking me, but otherwise I'm very happy with how that's gone. So all of that is to say, I know that I was very upset about the Buddy Hield, but I also wanted to stop and point out that I've seen a lot of generosity in the hobby this week as well, whether it's people sharing, people sending me those cards, which was completely unrelated to the Hield. And I really appreciate that those people are looking out, including yourself. I know you come on the show and I give you a hard time about your Celtics and whatever else is going on, but I look forward to these conversations. I appreciate the fact that I didn't know the Bruins were playing. And you didn't say, hey, let's reschedule it. You're just like, nope, we're gonna two screen this and just power through it. So thank you,
There we
Steve.
go.
So with that being said, maybe there is still some left of that game. I'll let you get back to that. You know the drill. Before I let you go, I want to give you a chance to offer any final thoughts or promote anything you're working on or any social media. These next few moments here are yours.
I love that you ended on a positive note. I think, despite all the stuff that people can complain about, the hobby is a great place to connect and socialize with others. So kudos to you for all the work you do and for that final shout out there to the hobby in general. Last time I was on with you, my sign off was a very rare Jay Crowder card that ended up popping up on eBay. So maybe there's some karma behind that. So I'll just say that Kyle brought up that I am into Marvel a little bit. For those that don't follow my social media, I'm very into Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. So a huge checklist find of mine is an on-card auto or a hobby pack pulled Chris Pratt. Star Lord Guardians of the Galaxy auto. So if I know there's several Upper Deck stuff out there. There's also people get stuff on card autos. So if anybody has anything out there or sees anything to show, please let me know, and that will be my final sign off.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve. And hopefully, those of you that were listening, you enjoyed that as well. Maybe there was something that either one of us said that resonated with you. Feel free to reach out on social media. You can find me on Instagram under at Wax Museum Podcast or X under the handle at Wax Museum PC. In the meantime, if you like the content I'm providing, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcast. Hit up the website for my affiliate links. Tag Taco Bell and let them know they can pay me in burritos. And until next time, this is the Wax Museum Podcast.